Okay, good morning. We review very quickly how we got to what we're talking about today. The Gemara said that even though Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi did not see the vision, their mazel saw. Rashi says in Megillah, where the same Gemara appears, that a mazel refers to a person's sar above, which fits in with Rashi's in other places in Gemara, where he says that everybody has an angel who is his advocate. And that led us to the tefillah of Machnisei Rachamim, where we ask the angels to, and other tefillahs, many other tefillahs, where we ask angels to advocate for us and take our tefillahs in to Shalom Aleichem, where we ask the angels to bless us. And so to the topic of, are we allowed to ask angels for things? Are we allowed to daven to angels? And we saw yesterday that Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Daled Amud Beis, as interpreted by Rashi, says that a person should do that. The Yerushalmi says that a person should not daven to angels. It doesn't actually say in Yerushalmi that it's usur. It just says, why would you want to, since Hashem can help you? You don't need to daven to angels. So that's where we're up to. Today we will go through Rishonim and, depending on how far we get, Achronim on both sides of this question, a lot of which focuses on the tefillah of, specifically of Machnisei Rachamim, but not all. For example, the Rambam doesn't mention that tefillah at all, but he says in Perashat Mishnayos on our Perek Chelek of Sanhedrin, where he lists the 13 articles of faith, Hayesod HaHei, the fifth one is, Shehu Yitbarach Hu Haru'i Lo'ovdo U'Legadlo, that he, may he be blessed, meaning Hashem, he is the one who is fit to serve and to make great, ulhodia gedulato, and to inform others of his greatness, v'lasot mitzvotav, to do his commandments, v'shelo yase kaze lamishu tachtav mitziut mil malachim, one should not do this to anyone who's below Hashem in the creation, from among the angels, v'kochavim, or the stars, v'galgalim, or the heavenly bodies, v'yesodot, or the elements, u'mash rukav mehem, or anything made out of them, v'fis shekulam hamutba'im al pulatam, all of them have their actions are determined by their nature. Ein mishpat v'lo bechira, they have no free choice. Ela lo levado, Hashem yibarach, only Hashem does, but the malachim and the planets and the heavenly bodies and the elements that the earth is made out of, they have no free choice at all. Their actions are all determined by their nature. One should not serve them as intermediaries to get close to Hashem. Ela elav bilvad, only to Hashem. Ikonu hamachshavat, the thoughts should be directed. V'yanichu kol ma shezulato, and everything else should be left aside. V'zeru yesod hachamishi, and this is the fifth foundation. Hu she's here at alavadak kochavim, and it's regarding this that we're warned not to do avodah zarah. Verova Torah maseret alav, and most of the Torah, many, many times in the Torah, it warns not to do avodah zarah. So the Rambam says two things here. First, he says that everything malachim do is predetermined by their nature, which argues with what Rav Haigon said that we saw yesterday, that angels have some amount of discretion. And second, he says that one should not serve an angel even as a way of getting closer to Hashem. And in Mishneh Torah, he writes about the history of Avodah Zarah. That's how Avodah Zarah started, that originally they worship angels and heavenly bodies as ways, as intermediaries to get closer to Hashem. Now, that's not exactly what we do when we say Machnisei Rachamim. We're not worshiping them. We're asking them to do something. However, those who are opposed to it think that it's dangerously close, as the Gaonim said explicitly, because they hold it's permitted. that you're giving the angels some more importance than they have and acting like they're worthy to ask things from. So the Rambam, although he doesn't mention Machnisei Rachamim, we could be sure, I think there's no question, he would be against it.
We're discussing to the angels, but is it a question of like through them?
Which, what are you asking about? You're asking about what the Rambam's talking about? Or are you asking about Machnisei Rachamim?
In general, and also what the Rambam's talking about. So is there, does he make a distinction between to and through?
He says you should not serve angels or planets or anything as a way of getting closer to Hashem. So that could be through them. It's not his intention to address that tefillah of Machnisei Rachamim, where we ask the angels to take our tefillos in. The Rambam seems pretty clearly, he would say, you serve Hashem, only Hashem, think only about Hashem, and the entire history, the way of Avodah Zarah started, was people trying to use other things as intermediaries to reach Hashem.
It shouldn't really be happening to them, but through them, to take the...
No, according to the Gaonim that we saw yesterday, angels actually have some independent powers, and you can ask them directly for things. So,
besides that one instance, but wasn't they criticized for them? The Malachim that did that?
So that's a good question.
In general, angels.
That's a good question. No, that's a good question. That somebody, I'm trying to remember who, talks about that. The Malach was punished for saying, we are destroying stone. It doesn't say the Malach was punished for saying that I will grant your request and not destroy this city. And more importantly, we don't find anywhere in Chazal that Lot is criticized for asking the Malach for a favor. And that, so what Rav Haigon was saying was, you see, the Malach was able to give Lot a favor. Lot said, please don't destroy that city. Let me escape to that city instead of running up to the mountains.
That's
not the only instance. Rav Haigon brought lots and lots of examples from the Gemara, from Yaakov, who referred to the angel who saved me. We'll see, there are other ways of interpreting what Yaakov said, but that's how the Gaonim interpreted. They brought lots and lots of examples.
Lot also is, it's like a special case, because of David, etc.
No. If the question was it usher for Lot to ask the angel for a favor? Lot wasn't thinking, I'm a special case because of David and whatever. That has nothing to do with anything.
From the Shabbayim point of view, not from Lot's point of view.
No, we're talking about from Lot's point of view. Are we allowed to ask angels for favors? Well, we have a precedent. Lot asked angel for a favor, and the Torah and Chazal don't ever say he did anything wrong. The Torah, it doesn't matter. Avodah Zarah is an Isser for Goyim too. Same Isser. And nowhere in the Torah or in the words of Chazal is there any hint that Lot did anything wrong by asking an angel for a favor. That's the Rav Haigon's point. That's all. It has nothing to do, when we decide what's halacha, we don't say, oh, well, since Lot's going to come for me, halacha's different. David Melch's going to come for me, halacha's different for me. We see that Chizkiyahu HaMelech tried that. He said, I don't want to have children because my son's going to be a Rasha. And the Navi told him, mind your own business. You have a mitzvah to have children. So
also a part of the plan. Chizkiyahu had it.
No, but the plan is irrelevant to you. You have a Shulchan Aruch. You have a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, get married, have children. Shulchan Aruch says, don't do Avodah Zarah. You can't say, well, the plan is that David HaMelech will come for me so I can do Avodah Zarah. No, of course not. Well, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. He did have a Shulchan Aruch. He had the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. That was his Shulchan Aruch. And one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is not to do idolatry. So if asking angels for favors is idolatry, then Lot wasn't allowed to do it. David HaMelech or no David HaMelech. And whether Lot even knew about David HaMelech, we don't even know. He probably didn't. But it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The Shulchan Aruch is a Shulchan Aruch, and Lot had a Shulchan Aruch of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. There's a lesser-known Rishon, lived around the year 1200, around same time as the Rambam or the later part of the Rambam's life. Rav Yaakov Bar Abba Mari Antoli lived in Provence, which is today in southern. He writes in his parish of Chumash called Sefer Melamed HaTalmidim in Parshas Yisro regarding the second one of the Aseres Adibros, Lo Yelecha, don't have other gods. He says that that which some people in our nation have the practice of administering oaths to angels or asking for certain angels to appear to them in a dream, or saying this prayer of Machnisei Rachamim, which we say at the end of Slichos every day during Slichos time, where we ask the angels to take our prayers into God. We address the angels directly. Lo tov haminhagahu. That is not a good custom. Umasechi karvucha. Your own deeds will bring you close. Lo hamalachim. Not the angels. Velo zulatam. And nobody else. Ra'i lifgo abahem. No one else should you daven to besides Hashem. Why? Shelo yekablem be'eloka. Because it, so that you shouldn't be led to accept them as a god. He seems to be saying, it's not avodah zarah to ask an angel to do something, but if you start down that road, you might eventually accept the angels as gods. V'rayalazeh, I'll bring you a proof that you shouldn't do this. Shalom matzanu b'tfilat Moshe Rabbeinu v'lo b'tfilat Shaar Nevi'im. You don't find Moshe Rabbeinu or any other Navi v'lo b'seder Anshei Knesset HaGdolah or in the davening that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah set up for us at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Zecher rak l'shem levado yitaleh. Never daven to an angel. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, not any Navi, and not in our davening. There's no davening to angels that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah set up. The Slichos, like Machnisei Rachamim, those are much later. Okay. In our core davening, Uma Shamar Yaakov HaMalach Goel Tim Korah. What about Yaakov, who said, the angel who saved me from all bad, Yivarech Tanarim, should bless the children. El Hashem Levadoita Tfilahi. He was davening to Hashem, ki kadam lo, right in the pasuk before, it says, ha'elokim ar'eotim odia de'yom hazeh, the God who shepherded me from my beginning until this day. But Salomar, ha'sholeach ha'malach ha'gueloti, he was the one who sent the angel who guarded me, yivarech et anarim, and he, God, should bless the children. Oratzabo, malacho ha'gueloti, v'yimalach makom zeh ratzon Hashem. Or, another interpretation, Malach means the will of Hashem. It's not referring to a being, but simply to the will of Hashem. He came by v'tzamekomot l'ratzon Hashem uchlat k'mo shalach malachea v'sagar purm arivata, malachei rather, v'sagar purm arivata v'lo kadam shem sipur malach. Find in Daniel, Hashem sent his angels to close the lion's mouth. It means his will, it doesn't mean a being. According to him, should not say the tefillah of Machnisei Rachamim, because if we start asking angels for things, we're going down a slippery slope where we then might accept them as gods. And when Yaakov said Hamalach HaGoeloti, he was referring to Yivarech Tanarim, should bless the children. He meant God, who sent an angel to save me, he, God, should bless the children. That's how he explains Rav Yaakov Antoli. Rav Yehuda HaChassid mentioned yesterday that there are a lot of regional differences in these practices. So Rav Yehuda Antoli lived in Provence. We'll see also the Meiri who lived in Provence, very strongly opposed to tefillos like Machnisei Rachamim. In contrast, farther north, in northern France and western Germany, the Rhine region, where many of the Rishonim lived and where Rashi lived, we saw Rashi seems to be in favor of that type of tefillah. So similarly, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who died in 1217 and lived in northwestern Germany, he said he's in favor. And he says that the reason we ask the angels to take our tefillos into Hashem is because when we daven, the angels evaluate our tefillos, like they do triage on our tefillos. You know, which ones are worthy to go in, which ones aren't worthy to go in, which ones maybe are worthy to go in. And that's their assignment to choose which tefillos get to go into Hashem. And they come down and they hear our tefillos. So we're asking them, please let our tefillos go in. And that's what the tefillah of Machnisi Rachamim is, and that's what we're saying. There are later poskim, like contemporary, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. We'll just skip ahead. You know, I said we go chronologically. So he says there's no problem saying Machnisi Rachamim, because all we're asking the angels to do is their job. Seemingly like what Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is saying, that angels are appointed to do jobs, and we're allowed to ask them, do their jobs. At the end of Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Oseh Shalom v'Mirmav, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, V'Alkol Yisrael v'Mirmein. He who makes peace in heaven should make peace on us and on all of Israel. V'Imru Amen, and say Amen. Now you're saying that silently. Who are you saying? To whom are you saying, V'Imru Amen, say Amen? So poskim say that you're saying it to the angels. You're telling the angels, say amen. On Friday night, we say, Shalom Aleichem, Barchuni L'Shalom, bless me. Who are you talking to? You're talking to the angels. You're saying, bless me. All of these cases, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, this is brought in Halicho Shlomo on Elul to Adar, page Dalet, footnote 17. You're just asking the angels to do their job. That's permitted.
They don't have discretion.
Well, he doesn't say directly. I mean, why do we have to ask them to do their job unless there's some concern they might not do their job? Maybe he's saying they should do their job in a way that's favorable to us. Like Rehuda Chassid is saying, their job is to choose which tefillos to take in, so we ask them to take in our tefillos. But they don't have discretion what job to do. They're given jobs, and we're asking them, do your job in a way that's favorable to us. That seems to be what they're saying.
The person who's davening should be in the category that's worthy.
Everybody says this. That's true. There are rules for who's worthy to daven, but that has nothing to do with this, because everybody says this.
It's maybe a little off topic, it seems to be connected. Similar idea that there's going to the kavarim of tzaddikim.
It's very connected, but hold that thought. It's very closely connected. What are we doing, not just tzaddikim,
yeah,
relatives? What are we doing? We go to the cemetery. But hold it. Very, very closely connected. A basically contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is the Rabbi Elazar Rokeach, another Rishon in Germany. And he wrote a tshuva on this subject. Which published apparently for the first time in the same volume of Yeshurun that I mentioned yesterday, volume 3, page Mem Aleph. And he says, I was asked about the custom of France, Spain, Babel, Egypt, and Germany. So it seems to have been a widespread custom in his time to say Machnisei Rachamim. And he says that there are those, first he writes a poem in which he attacks those who, in very strong terms, attack the people who say it. I don't know who he's referring to specifically, but he uses, apparently, the people who say it were attacked very strongly by somebody, and he writes back in this poem in very strong terms, and then brings many, many proofs that it's okay to say prayers like this. In response to the argument that we saw, that we don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu or the Nevi'im ever did such a thing. They never asked angels for help. He says, in those days, they were on a higher level. They didn't need angels' help, but that has nothing to do with us. We're on a lower level. We do need angels' help to get our prayers to go inside. That is his response to that argument. And he's strongly in favor of what was the existing practice in France and Germany of that time of writing such tfilos. As I mentioned, most of the slichos that we have come from Rishonim from that same time period. In the Machnisei Rachamim is older. It's mentioned by the Gaonim in Bavel already before the year 1000. But most of the slichos and piyutim that we have, that we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and during slichos period, were written in the 900s to 1200s, and many of either in Italy or France or Germany. And so apparently that was the practice there. The next Rishon on our chronological journey is Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar was the Rebbe of the Ramban, and he wrote a commentary on the Siddur. And so he says, regarding Machnisei Rachamim, he says, Evef Sharu Lasotan, yeah, it's possible to do this. Because we find in the Gemara, as Yitzi mentioned, that we go to cemeteries and we ask the deceased to daven for us. So too, we can ask the angels to daven for us. But then he says, but there are different opinions about this. We don't find anywhere in Tanakh that angels, that tzaddikim, nevi'im, davened, asked for help from angels or from the dead. If they needed help, they would go to the tzaddikim of their generations to daven. There's nowhere explicitly in Tanakh where anybody went to the grave of a tzaddik to daven. We do have Chazal saying that Kalev went to the Maras Machpelah, one of the spies, right? He went to the Maras Machpelah to daven to be saved from the conspiracy of the spies. But nowhere explicitly in Tanakh does anyone ever go to the grave of a tzaddik or ask an angel for help. So, and he says regarding Kalev, he says that regarding some midrashim that suggests that Kalev went there, that could be explained in a different way. He doesn't say what the different way is, but he says that even if you take it at face value that Kalev went to the Maras Machpelah, there's still a difference between tzaddikim and malachim, because tzaddikim, even when they're dead, they're called alive. They still can daven to Hashem, but you shouldn't ask things of angels, because then you might start attributing divine powers to angels. But he's not saying, don't say the prayer of Machnisei Rachamim. He's just saying, let's reinterpret it. Who are the Machnisei Rachamim? Who are the ones who take in the tfilos, our tfilos to Hashem? They are the Chasidei Hador, the pious ones of the generations. And we're saying, Machnisei Rachamim, we're asking the tzaddikim of our generation, I guess according to this you should say it out loud so everyone else can hear, okay? And we're saying, daven for us. We're asking everyone else to daven for us. And that's the intention you should have when you say it. So he doesn't say, so there are those who say, don't say Machnisei Rachamim at all. And there are those who say, do say it. And there now we see there are also those who say it, but reinterpret it. It's not talking to angels at all. It's talking to tzaddikim and chassidim of the generation that they should daven for us. Another lesser known Rishon of the same period is the Me'ili, not to be confused with the Me'iri, who's better known. This is Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon HaMe'ili Minervona, from Narbonne, is also in Provence. that same area where they were strongly opposed to this kind of prayer. And he was asked, what's the difference between making a request from angels or asking a tzaddik to daven for you? In both cases, you're putting an intermediary between you and Hashem. So he says, it's not a question at all. Because nobody's going to confuse a tzaddik or a chassid with God, but you might confuse an angel with God. The same argument that people are going to die. You know, you go to a tzaddik, you know he's going to die. You're not going to think he's God. But if you start asking things from angels, then you're going to confuse them with God. It says, furthermore, asking things from tzaddikim is good because you'll come to them, you'll ask them to daven for you, and they'll give you mussar. They'll tell you, I could daven for you, but you know, I see your Mechal al Shabbos, maybe you want to fix that, and that will help my prayers on your behalf. And furthermore, when you go to tzaddikim, you'll be inspired to be like them. So it's good to come in contact with tzaddikim, to ask them to daven for you, because it has multiple benefits. He then discusses, as we mentioned yesterday, one of the places that we find where we make requests from angels is in the Gemara, which says that before you go into the bathroom, you should say to the angels who accompany you, because everybody has angels who accompany him, Shamruni, Shamruni, Azruni, Azruni, Samchuni, Samchuni. Shamruni, which could either mean guard me or wait for me, and we'll see different interpretations. Azruni, Azruni, help me, help me. Samchuni, Samchuni, support me, support me. Nowadays, we don't say this, and we'll talk separately about why we don't say it nowadays. The simple explanation is we're not worthy of having angels accompany us, but there are questions on that interpretation. In any event, we don't say this nowadays, but you see the Gemara says, talk to angels, ask them to help you. So he says that the Rambam did not have the words Azruni, help me, in his version of this. Now, he apparently had a different version of the Rambam than we do, because our Rambam does have those words. But he says that even if you do say, help me, it's not a tefillah or a request. You're simply giving information to the angels. I'm about to go into this filthy place where you can't come. I want you to know that I'm not changing my ways. I plan to come out, and I'll still be worthy of having angels accompany me. Don't think I'm disappearing into this place forever. And furthermore, we say in that tefillah, Misharte Elyon, we refer to the angels as those who serve the one above. So we were specifically acknowledging that there's Hashem above the angels. So that protects us from thinking that the angels are God. What about, we refer to the Avos in prayers. We invoke the mercy, we invoke the merit of the Avos. We find the concept of going to the graves of Avos. So he says that we're not asking, we're not directing tefillos to them. It's simply that because we say that tzaddikim, even when after they die, they're so-called alive, and they know what's going on with their children, and they're pained by it. When bad things happen to us, our ancestors are pained by it. So we go to their graves to sort of awaken them to go daven for us, but not that we're talking to them. According to him, one should not be talking to the people who are buried there. We go there and we daven to Hashem, and when they see us there davening to Hashem, they daven also. So, and he says, as we mentioned before, we in any event don't find anywhere in Tanakh explicitly that anybody went to a grave to daven. So it's not, it is mentioned in the Gemara, but it's not mentioned anywhere in Tanakh, and surely if one was supposed to ask the dead explicitly to daven for him, somebody in all of Tanakh would have done it. And we don't find that anywhere. And likewise, he says that when we say Machnisei Rachamim, he's not saying not to say Machnisei Rachamim, but you should have in mind that it's referring to the tzaddikim of the generations who should daven for you, not to the angels at all. It's not at all addressed to angels. Okay. Regarding Kalev, who went to the Maros Machpelah, so he says you could say that he simply went there to daven in the hope that the Avos would see him and would daven for him. He says there are midrashim that say explicitly that Kalev spoke to the Avos and said, Avos, daven for me. But even so, like we said, that's not the same as Malachim, because you're not going to confuse dead Avos lying in their graves with God, but you might confuse Malachim with God. He says, but I don't think that's the correct interpretation. I think that version of the Medrash is wrong. And as I said, Kalev just went there to daven to Hashem so that the Avos would see him and would daven to Hashem. Then why does Gemara say that you should not daven in Aramaic because angels don't understand Aramaic? So he says, because Hashem appointed the angels to be intermediaries in our time of need to take our tefillos inside, and therefore we should daven in a language that the angels could understand. Otherwise, every time we daven, if we daven in a language angels don't understand, God's going to have to tell the angels, okay, angels, go take that tefillah, and go take that tefillah, and go take that tefillah, but Hashem already appointed the angels to do it. So we should do it in a way that the angels can do their job. That's what he says. And lastly, he says that we could translate that Gemara differently. Not angels don't understand Aramaic, because Rav Haigon asked, how can you say angels don't understand Aramaic? The angels write down everything we do, and they have to understand it. The word makir, it says, Ein makirin rashat aramit. They don't recognize Aramaic. It's like the chairman of a meeting recognizes you to speak. Like, he knew all along that you were Yitzi and you were Brent. It doesn't mean I now recognize you. Recognize means to acknowledge. The angels don't acknowledge Aramaic. Why? Because you should be speaking Hebrew. Hebrew is the holy tongue. That's what the angels want to hear you speaking. And they ignore you. When I was little, my father wanted to encourage us to speak Hebrew. So we had a rule in the house. Before noon, we had to speak Hebrew. Usually it was pretty easy because we went to school early in the morning and we weren't home before noon. But sometimes he wouldn't acknowledge us if we didn't speak Hebrew. That's one way. Didn't last very long, but that's what makirin means. They won't, and we find in Miguel's Rus that the word is used that way. Yehi makirech baruch. May the one who recognized you be blessed. Okay. So the malachim want you to speak Hebrew. They don't want you to speak Aramaic. So they ignore you when you speak Aramaic, but not that they don't understand Aramaic. The Ramban, in one of his drashos called Toras Hashem Tmima, he describes three different types of Avodah Zarah, and he says that the third type is serving angels, and he says, V'nir'esh afili palelahem al derech zeh asur lanu, even to daven to them as advocates on our behalf is Asur. And he brings the Yerushalmi that we said yesterday, which says, don't call to Michal or to Gavriel, call to me, to Hashem. So he's interpreting, even though the literal words of Yerushalmi could be read as advice, Hashem can help you. Why would you want to daven to angels? But the Ramban is interpreting it as an isser. Do not ask angels to help you in any way. Just daven directly to Hashem. Again, he does not refer specifically to the tefillah of Machnisei Rachamim. We don't know if that tefillah was known in Spain. Well, we mentioned yesterday, Shalom Aleichem was written about 700 years ago. The Ramban died in 1270. It probably was written shortly after he died, but we have no reason to think he was aware of it, because again, a lot of geographical differences here too. The Rishonim in Spain, for the most part, don't even mention Machnisei Rachamim. Maybe they were not aware of it, but they talk about the concept. The Meiri, major Talmud commentator, lived from 1249 to 1306, also in Provence. He has a number of things to say about this. First, we mentioned yesterday the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which, according to Rashi's interpretation, Rashi doesn't mention Machnisei Rachamim, but later Rishonim bring Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. The Gemara says one should always pray that his tefillos be strengthened. And Rashi understood it means ask the angels to pray with you and strengthen your tefillos. And later Rishonim brought that as a proof that it's okay to say Machnisei Rachamim. The Meiri says, because it gives a different interpretation to that Gemara entirely. He says, it doesn't mean ask angels to help you daven. It means ask your friends to help you daven. When you have a problem, don't daven alone. Ask your friends to daven with you, and that will strengthen your davening. So it's not, Gemara, according to the Meiri, is not talking about angels at all, and therefore it has nothing to do with the tefillah of Machnisei Rachamim. That's in his commentary on Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Bet, which is the Gemara we read yesterday. In his commentary on Sanhedrin, Lamed Chet Amud Bet, he hints to this tefillah. He says, She'ein anu tzrichim l'machnisei rachamim. We don't need anyone to take our request for mercy into Hashem. Clearly, it's an allusion to that tefillah, because he talks about that tefillah explicitly in his work called Chibur HaTshuva. It's one of the earliest works devoted to the subject of tshuva. And he writes in two places there. First, in Mamar Aleph Perek Rishon, in the Mosadar HaChuk edition on page Chaf, he quotes a pasuk that's in Koheles. It says, Al titein et picha l'chati et besarecha. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Ve'al tomar lifnei malach kishgagahi. And don't speak before a malach, for it is an inadvertent sin. Lama yiktsof elokim al kolecha. Why should Hashem get angry at your voice? That's a pasuk in Koheles. He interprets that, Al tomar lifnei malach. If you sinned and you want to do tshuva, do not do tshuva in front of a malach. Don't ask a malach to forgive you or to daven for you. Do not ask a malach to daven for you. Lama yiktsof elokim al kolecha. Why should Hashem get angry at you? You're coming to do tshuva, and you're going to do tshuva in a way that's make Hashem more angry by asking a malach to help you, which is exactly what we do in slichos. We do tshuva, we say vidui and tachanun, and then we ask the malachim to take our tefillos into Hashem. According to Meiri, that would make Hashem angry. That's not going to help you. Do not ask, he's saying, do not even ask the angels to help you. He says so explicitly. Do not even ask the angels to help you, because that will make Hashem angry. Okay. Don't even ask them to take your prayers in. I don't know what exactly what you mean by to and through. Do not make requests. Do not daven to Malachim. Do not make requests of angels.
You're asking them to help.
Do not do either one.
Right.
Okay. The Meiri says do not do either one of those. Okay. He later in Mamar Bet, Perk Yud Bet, he says that when the Gemara says do not daven in Aramaic because the Malachim don't understand Aramaic, Malachim there does not mean angels at all. Malachim refers to your good midos. Malachi hashares are your good midos, and Malachi chavala, angels of destruction, are your bad midos. When you daven, you need to concentrate. You need to put all of your good midos into your davening. Channel all of your good energy into your davening. If you daven in a foreign language, you will have trouble doing that. Aramaic is a foreign language to most people. Its interpretation is a little difficult because in time of the Gemara, Aramaic was not a foreign language to most people, but that's how he's interpreting it. Daven in a language that you can understand so that you can channel your energy, the malachim refers to your energy, into the davening. And that's what it means that angels don't understand Aramaic. It means you, deep inside, don't understand Aramaic, so don't daven that way. That is the Meiri's in interpretation. He is clearly against saying tfilos like Machnisei Rachamim, where we ask the angels to daven or to take our tfilos in. He would certainly be against asking angels for things directly or asking the angels to, even asking angels to help us.
So the flip side of that is, let's say nowadays many people understand English better than Lashon HaKodesh, then he would be...
Consult your local Orthodox rabbi, because it might not be the same, because he's saying if you understand two languages, daven in Hebrew, which he's assuming you understand better. He doesn't directly address the question of what if you actually understand Aramaic better than Hebrew. He's assuming you don't. He's assuming you understand Hebrew better. So if the opposite is true, that you understand Aramaic or English or French better, should you daven in Aramaic in or English or French, that's a halachic discussion that you can consult your local Orthodox rabbi about, because that's not our topic. Okay. Tomorrow we will wind up this topic. There are a few more things to say about it. again, as we ended yesterday, on the practical level, our slichos do have Machnisei Rachamim printed there. Most people do say it. We'll see, even in relatively contemporary times, not everyone does it. And you can either do what your printed slichos say or ask your rabbi what to do. Or, like me, you're struggling to catch up because the slichos went so quickly. That might be something you'll end up skipping anyway. But that's not our role here to decide, practically speaking, what we're going to do. Have a good day.
You too.